What's up, party people? Welcome to Leverage Podcast, episode number something. we're real organized over here, as usual.
Just crushing popcorn.
Yeah, munching popcorn. So I'm here with Corey and Shrabizi and James. James left, he had to go home tonight, and Joey's here too. And Harley and Hippie. Harley and Hippie in the other room, so we can talk shit about them. So we're going to tell some stories about Brazil and make you guys wish you were here. And then we'll answer some questions. Talk about some... can we talk about water, really?
Yes.
Talk about some push-pull stuff. Differences in women. Differences in women. Yeah, why don't we talk about that first? I'd like to hear from you guys what you have seen, and then I'll chime in with anything that's missing.
Okay. So, I go first.
This is Corey, by the way.
Yeah, this is Corey. So, women here are super direct. In terms of, if they like you, they like you. If they don't, they don't. Like, if you saw my Tinder thread, about my Tinder conversation here, that's pretty much what it's like in real life. Like, if they like you, they'll like you. And if they don't, they don't. There's no bullshit. There's no games and there's no bullshit. Just to sum it up quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't beat around the bush.
No. Okay. And if they like you, and if they like you too much, they'll be very aggressive.
Yeah.
Like, very aggressive.
You've seen that too, Joey.
Yeah, Joey was...
Couple nights we've been out, Joey's had like three different girls, like all competing for his attention. Unfortunately, he's chosen the ones who weren't DTF each of those times. But I think there's some good makeup parties out of you. What have you noticed, Joey?
Pretty similar. I mean, yeah, when you're going and approaching, it's essentially a yes or no type of situation, there's just no games. That's the best way to put it. You go up and talk to them. You speak English. Just talk to them for a few minutes about normal stuff. You don't have to try to charm them or come up with something super genius to say. Mm. And then pull them back and have fun. Like, yeah, stuff.
Yeah, good. You get real touchy real early.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, yeah.
They touch you a lot here.
They touch you a lot.
The physical is kind of the opposite of Eastern Europe. Girls over there, like, don't really touch you at all until they trust you. Like, you know, a girl both finds you attractive and feels a connection when they start touching you over there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like a touchy-feely culture at all. Whereas here, like, I asked the lady at the supermarket today, like, where I can find ice. And she, like, grabbed my hand. I'm like, oh,
Oh, and making out is nothing here. And just because you make out with a chick, especially at a club or bar, that means nothing. It doesn't mean anything at all.
Nothing.
It's kind of just like, it's kind of like a handshake. Really.
If you guys have been reading the Brazil thread, one of the first things I told James when I got here, you know, almost 3 weeks ago, when he was telling me that he was getting a ton of makeouts, but wasn't getting a lot of like girls in his harem or getting laid, like, you got to stop making out with these girls. Because essentially what they do is they're makeout whores. It's not a big deal to make out here. It's fun. And they'll just go to the next guy 10 feet away and make out with him. And I have to imagine this is one of the biggest cheating cultures in the world. Like, there's not, you know, like...
Tell me a story
about the girl last night.
So, the girl that I had last night, I got her back here today, or last night, and she stayed pretty much all day today. Like, she stayed until like 9 hours ago. Yeah. And I didn't know this till this morning. She went to the club last night with another guy and went home with me.
So amazing.
And I had no idea. And apparently, like, we got a table last night. He was like standing at the end of the table, like late at night, like kind of like pathetically waving at her. And she is just not, you know, responding because we were talking. So it's ridiculous. She's like, this morning, she was like, oh my God, I feel so guilty. I was like, no, you don't. Like, you don't fucking feel guilty at all. But, yeah.
So tell us the story about that. Like, how how you ended up creating that whole thing?
Well, with Gavin.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened there is, I don't know, I think I went to the bathroom or something. I don't remember where I was, but I came back to the table. Like, there really wasn't a whole ton of talent at the place we were at last night.
No, it was bad. But it was a Tuesday night, and yeah, there was, you know, all the parties really are starting, like, tomorrow for Carnival. Official start date for Carnival is Friday the 5th. You know, but the thing about Rio is there's always parties every night. So James said to check out a club called Mirior, and it's basically a hostel party. So all the different hostels will send all of their people to this one party. So we had, there was like a ton of British and Australian and Americans and a lot of Australian girls, or sorry, a lot of Brazilian girls who spoke English.
Yeah.
Which is what we're looking for.
Yeah.
We have no shot with non-English speaking Brazilian girls.
English is actually a little tougher to find than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so yesterday, I got back to the table and girls that Joey hit on were there. And I didn't see much there that I found attractive, but all of a sudden there was this girl I thought was super cute, and she was just at her, in our table. So now I introduced myself just to her, and then I go to Joey. I was like, "Who is this? Yours?" And Joey was like, "No, that's all you." I'm like, "Thank fucking God!" So like, I don't know. It went pretty smooth at first, except for the fact that she disappeared for a little while, and apparently she disappeared for a little while because she was dealing with that dude. Like, she was with that dude, and she was with that dude upstairs. But then she eventually came back. And it's funny because this morning she told me that in our first interaction before she went upstairs and came back down, she thought I was just going to be like one of those guys that, you know, maybe she'd come home with me, maybe not, but it was just going to be like a one and done kind of thing, that like, she didn't really even like me like that much, she said. But then when she came back down the second time and we started talking again, that's when she really started to like me. I don't know what I did differently, or I don't know what I did to create the connection, but it just, you know, really happened. And then we got, and I don't even know how we pulled them back. It was all kind of a blur.
So I made sure to orchestrate that with the girls.
Yeah.
We had a perfect situation because we had three girls, three guys, me, Hippie, and Carly. And I was like, all right, like, everyone's sort of paired off. And, you know, we did the best with what we had there,
you know,
right?
Yeah, we did relatively good considering what the fuck was there.
Yeah, exactly. It only takes one, is what I always say.
Yeah.
Only takes one. And I knew that. I knew we'd go to this club. I knew it'd be not the best, but I also knew that we would be by far and away, like, the coolest, most fun people to party with there.
Yeah.
With the two hottest girls. By like, you know, so I knew we'd find the hot girls that spoke English and they'd want to stay with us and party with us and after party with us. So I just had Carly and Hippie around. Like, this, it's great to have wing girls that are like extremely aggressive and forceful.
Yeah.
Cause literally they were just like, you have to come with us. You're coming with us. You're coming with us. We grab their hands. And I was just like, all right, you guys go on that Uber. You guys go on that Uber and make sure all the pieces of the puzzle were coordinated, and then me and Carly jumped in a cab.
I'm surprised, like, I'm actually kind of surprised people even want to after party here because clubs don't get out until 6 a.m., but it still happens.
Oh, yeah. They don't ever want to stop here. They don't have any jobs.
Yeah.
Got nothing to do. Mm-hmm. Might as well go back and do it.
No job.
Oh. I'm kind of job.
Yeah. Details. So when we got back here after the after party was orchestrated, I pretty much just took her. Like, my deck is just an absolute gold mine because my deck just looks at the crease though. And so, like, I can just take, like...
Oh, so maybe you guys FOMO. So we rented a 5-bedroom villa.
Yeah.
Just kind of like in the Beverly Hills of Rio, you could say. It has a pool that doesn't have water in it just yet. Hopefully that'll be done by Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
So we can have some pool parties this weekend. But it's up on a mountainside. It has an insane, like, view of the Cristo, which is one of the seven wonders of the world, the modern world. And also we hiked up it the other day. So it's a sick spot, like, girls come back and
really, yeah, they're impressive stuff.
Yeah.
So I just brought her up to my deck. And that was the first time we kissed because I follow Rob. I'm trying to follow Robbie's don't make out with girls at the club. Like, be the guy that doesn't do that. Like, I get flirty and touchy. I kiss cheeks. Like, that's my move, is to, like, look at him, go in, but then just kiss their cheek and, like, walk away. But I, like, I do that, but I don't, like, I don't want to make out in a club. Like, this, just people, like, people, like, straight up get it on in clubs here.
Yeah.
Like, pretty much.
Right, you go to places.
Yeah, you go to the places.
You go to restaurants.
It's
yeah. crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that pretty much is still that once we started making out, it was pretty, I don't even think I was downstairs that much, was I? I don't even know.
When we got here, basically went in the kitchen, made some drinks, turned on the music, and all the girls, so Carly, Hippie, and the three girls were all outside having like a girl time, like Snapchatting and just, you know, doing silly girl things. And we were all standing in the kitchen. I'm like, all right, this can't go on. So I came out and basically like ruined their girl party. and I needed to be the one to do it. Because if any of you guys do it, you just look like thirsty, trying to get it in. But I can do it because, you know, I'm there with my girl and I'm not hitting on any of the random, you know, any of the sheep. So I played bad guy. All those three girls kind of ran inside. One of them stayed out, Sherbon's girl or whatever. And then you guys did a great job of isolating them. So talk about that.
Yeah, well, that's basically, that must have been when I brought her upstairs.
Yeah.
And then it just escalated.
So you brought her around. You brought her, like, you showed her, like, the backyard, and you, like, brought her around the house.
Okay. Remember that?
No.
Yeah.
I was like, where are you going?
Yeah.
I
don't know anything. It was super funny, actually. You remember, like, when you're like, yeah, I'm just going to bed.
And did I say that, really?
You, because then we were, like, because, like, Carly and Hippie were, like, downstairs with them, and they're all, like, well, like, partying and stuff. And
yeah.
But, like, and it was just going on super, super long, and you were just, like not having it. Like, well, not having it, but it was, like, the sun was coming up. You're, like, yo, honestly, like, she's going to come to my room, so I'm just going to go to bed. And I, like, was, texted Carly, I'm like, get out of here, like, get out of here. And Carly's like, fine, and leave. And then you came back down, and then we separated.
Okay, got it.
That's
got it.
Got it.
So you don't remember giving her the tour or anything?
No, I don't remember any of that.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
So you tell us what happened.
From what part?
The part where I sent the girls back inside and they're all sitting on the couch outside.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, see, okay, what happened then when we were all outside was we came back inside, but like our girls were like Carly was here in the house. So then we still, it was in the living room though that we were all doing girl stuff.
You're going too far for it. Okay, so I brought the girls back inside the kitchen. And then within the next 5 minutes, you were on your deck. Or no, you took that girl and like walked her around the house. You took your girl up on the deck.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Sherbon, yeah, that was too far.
Sherbon was one-on-one. Yeah, Sherbon was one-on-one with his girl outside. Yeah. And Carly was with me. And I'm not sure where Hippie was.
Oh, okay. I was going to say from there I was talking to my girl.
So how'd you get your girl up on the deck?
Oh, I would just pull her up, basically. I was like, oh, let me show you the deck.
Cool.
But, yeah. And then
and then me and Carly were up there on the deck and we're like, yeah, we should leave.
Right.
Because we were clock blocking.
Right.
She gave you the unfaithful speech.
No, that was before. Different.
Okay, go ahead.
No, like that would be from the beginning of the night.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
From the beginning?
Well, to finish this part.
Yeah, let's finish this part.
So what was the part, what was happening in the kitchen, and then you pulled her up?
Yeah, and I pulled her up, but apparently we went back downstairs. I really don't remember.
Yeah, we did.
Whatever the case.
Right, but that was at the very right.
Yeah. There was a certain point where, like, I felt pretty confident, like, by the time we were back that she was, you know, but she just, like, it ended, like, the after party was just, like, too fun for her, like, I want to stop, really.
Exactly.
So it was like, all right, and that's where I was getting, like, you know,
you
can't do any more drugs. Like, I just wanted to, you know, hook up with her and sleep at this point.
Yeah. And you already made out with her and all that.
Yeah, I already made out with her a ton. Like, I wasn't worried about that. But I just went and grabbed her hand and like, literally just, like, walked up, grabbed her hand, and pulled her. Yeah. And just, like, said, all right, we're going to bed now.
Exactly what you do. No.
Yeah, you just follow.
Yeah,
and then we just went back there, like, well, you know, ask me there. Yeah, and that was it. And then today,
any sort of resistance to sex or anything like that?
Yeah, a little bit at first. She said she didn't want to do it. You know, but then we stopped, and I just didn't let the freeze out. So, I stopped, turned over, and then it was kind of we connected more. And I think it was after we connected, had some real talk, then it usually happened again. But it wasn't a lot, so. Because it wasn't over a long period of time. And then we did it again this morning. And then she stayed all day. So I think she was really, really into it. She didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
They
were wifey'd up watching movies with her on the couch.
Yeah, we're waiting for this fucking Brazilian barbecue. But yeah, that's exactly what we were doing.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Siobhan, going back to what you learned from the night, what were your big takeaways? Or did you already go over those? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, to summarize them, essentially actually getting to see what Blissful was, it was very, very, very valuable. I would say that was pretty much everything.
Yeah. I mean, I've made a ton of just in advancements and being able to teach push-pull, because it's really the hardest thing to teach.
Yeah, no, completely.
Yeah, because it's a dance. It's explaining to someone how to dance, right? You can show them, tell them.
Yeah,
it's a physical thing. It's where you're channeling your energy. It's where you have your attention. It's the way you're touching people, the way you're moving in and out from them, and how you're talking to their friends and how you're holding court and holding people's attention. So it's basically impossible to talk about and to write about. The best way you guys can learn that is to read the Ukraine guide, where I just go through basically how I, seduced all the girls I met in Eastern Europe this summer. You can read the Carly write-up where you should see all the push-pull that went into that. So it really comes down to, you can read that stuff, but seeing it and having me show you is way, way, way easier to learn. And, the one thing I wanted to do when I assembled this trip was I wanted to make sure that all the guys who were here had a pretty easy time getting attraction. So all four of you guys do great when it comes to you have all your shit together, you dress well, you're in good shape. You can walk up to just about any girl who's a normal, cool, attractive chick, and she's probably going to want to talk to you, right? Granted, there's a million reasons why she won't, because maybe she has a boyfriend, or maybe she's tired, or for whatever the fuck reason, she's in a bad mood, and there's nothing anyone could do. But for the most part, any girl who's open to meeting a dude is going to the four of you guys. There's no way that they're not, right? And for you, Joey, the only thing that you're lacking in that department is confidence, right? It's getting more wins under your belt. So you walk over with that swag, right? What you're missing is just some swag. Mm-hmm. Siobhan, a little bit there. We've come a long way with the swag. But, it's the swag is that not giving a fuck. It's right. Yeah, I'm going to fucking come over and hit you with my big fucking mandingo, right? Yeah. And the more success you have, the more swag you have. And women can just smell the swag. They can smell the confidence. So that just comes from more approaching, more reps, more wins, right? So all of you guys do well in that department, and I wanted to assemble a group of guys that were all going to do well so I could really focus on teaching push-pull and after-party logistics and all of the subtle things that go into creating a party, creating an after-party, having fun, turning a girl that likes you into a fucking GFE. Those are the fun things. Those are the real advanced, seduction shit.
GFE is girlfriend experience.
Yeah.
Those are
the GFE is great. It's basically having a girlfriend for 2 or 3 days without any of the commitments of the girlfriend. And it's the greatest thing in the world when you're traveling is to just do fucking week after week of GFE, GFE, GFE. So you have everything that, you have the whole gamut of going out with your boys and picking up chicks and getting fucked up and then having the lovey-dovey cuddly and all the sex and that experience where you get to hang out with your girl
right?
Yeah, that's your game.
The GFU is the best, right? So it's perfect because everyone is very similar in that regard. And some of the trouble we've had on some of the shows before is we have people that are, you know, more advanced than others. And obviously you're only as strong as your weakest link when it comes to like after partying and pulling girls back. And, you know, if there's one person in your group that, you know, maybe is a little creepy or haven't gotten past that like creepy zone that we talk about, you know, in the Socrates video, where you're going through that creepy zone when you're, you know, learning to approach. I didn't let anyone in that zone come on this trip. So this incentive for you guys, if you want to come on these trips, like you got to get through that creepy zone, which involves doing a shitload of approaches until you no longer have that fear. And you're getting mostly warm receptions or nice rejections, right? So you can walk up to most girls that you see and they'll usually smile and either tell you, you know, sorry, I have a boyfriend, but you're cool, or be open to talking to you. Then you know that, you know, doing something like this will kind of take you to the next level.
So yeah, that was a good one.
In terms of comparing Brazilian girls to other girls around the world, I'd say they're the easiest to hook up with. Definitely the sluttiest, the most sexually liberated. You know, it's very easy to kiss them. You just have to be careful not to escalate too much too soon, because then you kill all the sexual tension and you can't fuck them. Whereas it's very difficult to make out with an American girl, but once you've made out with her, you've done like 80% of the battle, right? Because American girls like won't make out unless that attraction is like, is both attraction and some sort of connection. And I'm not saying all American girls, but most, right? There's always that club chick who, you know, drunk, right time, right place, on the rebound, who you can bang in the bathroom, you know, within 3 minutes. Although that tends to happen more actually in other places like Budapest and Eastern Europe. Like, you know, in Eastern Europe, you get girls who are like either really fucking ready to go. Like, I took a girl into the bathroom in Ukraine, remember that night? And that was Greece, the Ukrainian girl.
Oh, yeah.
From Greece.
Yes.
You know, there was like all Greeks at this party we were at this summer in Helsinki.
Yeah.
And met this Ukrainian girl at the bar, pulled her back to the table, making out with her, pulled her in the bathroom. And I was. Had my dick halfway inside of her when my girlfriend came in.
Cock-blocked
the fuck out of me. So that was a good one. And then to get back at me, she tried to go back and fuck one of the guys working.
Oh, that's right.
Who lived at the club in a dorm. They had like a dorm of dudes who like live at the club.
Really?
Yeah, for the summer. And she went back there and picture like 8 guys in like a bunk bed, and not a single guy has a condom. Fucking losers. You have to be 8 dudes, no condom, working at a nightclub, hoping to bring girls back to after party at nightclub. And how do you not have a condom there?
Gotcha.
Like showing up to a golf course, asking for a sweep of golf balls. I'm like, sorry, we don't have any. All right, I guess I'll be going home. I was going to pay that $150 green fee, but hey, you don't got any balls. All right. you do all that work to get him to your golf course. So, anyways, we digress. But, the girls are flirty. The English is less. So, you know, you have to do a few approaches to probably find English speakers. It's super helpful to have James, who speaks Portuguese.
Oh, yeah, that's so awesome. That was Saturday.
Yeah, because that situation that you had was ideal.
Yeah.
We're at a dope party on Saturday at a place called Café de la Musique, which was awesome DJ, you know, tables, picture like, you know, typical LA, New York nightclub, although it was in a construction site. We had to take a construction elevator that was like pulled by a crane up to the club, which is kind of interesting. But then inside the club, it was super decked out and nice with like drapes and lights and like sushi and crazy shit like that. Just tons of amazing
walking around. And Corey, you approached the Trooper 2 hot chick.
Yeah.
One spoke great English, smoking hot. The other one also hot, didn't speak any English or little English, right?
No.
Yeah, zero.
Yeah.
One spoke great, one spoke none. So he pulled James over, who, you know, connected with the Portuguese one. And they kind of paired off all night and brought the girls back. And James banging the Portuguese one. And you were, not banging, but falling in love.
Yeah, I fell in love with that. Submitting the same
room. And it's really going to start revving up here come tomorrow night.
That's the worst part.
Yeah.
We haven't even started.
Carnival has not even started. And we have what do they call that part of the lineup in baseball?
I know what you're talking about.
Like the third, fourth, fifth, sixth guys in the lineup. The meat of the lineup is coming up, Thursday, Friday. We're going to go pretty hard. Thursday night, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. Going to have a Super Bowl party here on Sunday night.
Are you streaming the game or something?
We're going to put on the projector downstairs. We have tons of seating. So everyone should be on the number scooping for the next three nights. Mm-hmm. And we can blow out like a pool party followed by a Super Bowl party on Sunday. And then on Monday and Tuesday, maybe we'll go hard again on Monday. There's a great party on Monday. Maybe get one night of break on Tuesday. And then I think people leave on Thursday. So you can rage one more night on the 10th on Wednesday.
Isn't the carnival night Tuesday night though?
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's literally the culmination of it.
Oh, okay. Then maybe we don't rage on Monday.
Yeah.
Maybe we make it Tuesday.
Obviously, we're coming. We're going to get that.
Yeah. We'll definitely rage one of those three nights or two. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So there's a lot of partying to be had. Cameron, if you can still make it. No, you can't get a visa. Let's say hop a flight.
Yeah.
Too hard to get a visa. Any questions from the peanut gallery? First about the Brazil trip, and if none of those, you can ask anything else.
This is Cameron. I have a question. When you were earlier, you mentioned the freeze out. Could you go into a little bit more detail when you were talking about, Siobhan with that Brazilian girl?
Yeah, good question. That was a good time to talk about it. So what I used to do when it came to push-pull, or this is kind of past push-pull, this is when you're...
Bedroom.
Yeah, this is like in the bedroom, right?
Bedroom resistance.
Yeah, bedroom resistance. Last-minute resistance. LMR for the pickup artist on the call. For all the poo-as listening in. All the poo-as listening to this podcast, I'm sure there's quite a few that'll be listening. I chew once with poo. In the bedroom resistance, you're in there, you're making out with her, you're lying on your bed, and you gotta get her naked and you gotta get a dick in you. In her. Whoops. That's on the gay call tomorrow. So what most guys do is they just like basically just make it really obvious how they're going to seduce the girl. They're going to first start with making out, then they're going to go peace, and then they're going to try to slip the hand down in the old snatch. And then they're going to try to get the panties off, and then they're going to grab for a condom, and then they're going to try to ram it home. So that's how you round the bases, right? And every girl who's over the age of 18 has significant experience, if she's hot, dealing with dudes trying to round the bases on her. And she's got a built-in set of alarms and security systems and resistance techniques to make sure that doesn't happen. So unless she's just like 100% ready to go and she's already made the choice to have sex, which is very rare because most girls will feel some sort of guilt about doing it, especially the first night, or, it's just, you know, they like to put up the resistance because they like to see a guy work for it too.
Like, especially if they like you.
If they like you, yeah. They like to resist. Like, this is how it works. And the more a girl gives me resistance, the more I end up liking her. So the smart ones are way better at it. The smart ones make you work for it. Because anything you have to work for inherently has more value at the end of the day. So you can't round the bases. That's the trick. You have to, you know, dodge and weave around the bases. And
the worst thing you can possibly do is beg.
Yeah.
Right. That's sure. The worst. Like, if they say no, it's the worst thing you can do is, like, just keep trying and begging and looking for better.
Right. And another thing to remember is a girl is going to say no with her body about 10 times before she says no with her words. So if you ever get to the point where she has to actually tell you no, or to stop, or to slow down, it means you've missed about 10 really obvious signals. And that's real bad. That's usually when she's, like, over it, and she's not going to fuck you ever. And she has to verbalize it. I mean, not ever, and it really depends on your age. You know, if you're 30 and you're with a, you know, 25 to 30-year-old and you hear those words, no, it means you're probably never fucking that girl. But if you're like 22 to like 23 or anything under that, like, girls haven't had a ton of experience, like, really food guys. So they have, you know, maybe a little bit more leeway, unless they're like a party girl, mohos, they're on the block. And then the same rule applies for those older girls with that. So what I do to not round the bases is, first of all, I will make comments, insinuating like they're the one trying to seduce me, right? So when I bring them in the room, I'll be like, yo, don't get your hopes up. I'm not like an easy fuck. Like, you're gonna have to buy me dinner first. I'm gonna kick you out within like 5 minutes. It's not happening tonight, right? So I'll basically say all of the things that a girl would tell me, but I'll just use her playbook, right? I used to do that a lot more than I do now. Now it doesn't really fit because it would just look way too gamey. Like, girls know that like, I fuck a lot of girls and they get it. So I don't really get a whole lot of resistance anymore just because I'm presenting, like, I'm presenting a product to them where they just kind of know, like, okay, if I go home to this guy, I'm probably going to bang him. Like, you know, it's just kind of like, and I would have to really go into detail to describe that, which I'm not going to do now. That's more like the conversation workshop, more some of the advanced, like how to present who you are, how to have, you know, difficult conversations around sex, all these different things. And so anyways, but if you're, this can be a really good set of training wheels to do some of the, using the lines from their playbook. And it's silly, it's flirty, it's funny. Right? I'll still do some of that if I encounter it. Like, basically, if I see there's some sort of resistance from her, I'm going to call it out in a funny way. Like, if I can tell she's wary of coming in the bedroom and be like, you know, just so you know, like, just because you're coming in my bedroom, like, you know, it doesn't mean you're getting me naked. I've got to put in some work for that. So I'll say stuff like that. Instead of trying to immediately, like, make out with her when we get on the bed, I might sit there. And if she's, like, facing me, I just might, like, roll back on my back and just, like, you know, might have my hand around her, but I'll just, like, be looking up at the ceiling, talking, and showing no sort of desire or interest in, like, a physical thing, which will immediately make her think, like, whoa, this is weird. Like, most guys are on top of me by now trying to hump me. So I'm not, right? And I'll let them kind of, like, cuddle up to me, kind of, like, snuggle up, like, you know, under my arm. And a lot of the time, if they're horny, they'll just start grabbing my dick right then and there. And then it's all systems go. So now you basically jump to, like, third base, right? If she's grabbing your dick and that gives you essentially permission with pussy, then you're already at third base and you're past a lot of those problems. And the magical thing is, usually if you can get your hands on her clit, it will bypass all of her logical triggers of stopping sex, of slowing that process down, and you'll get her out of her head and into your body. So girls always have, like, two little creatures in their head. One's a nun and one's like a sex fucking you know, nymphomaniac, right? And the nun is saying, no, no, no. And the nymphomaniac is saying, let's fuck, let's fuck, let's fuck. And you get to decide which one's going to come out and play, right? So if you try to interface with her logically, which Joey experienced the other night, if you try to have a conversation about hooking up, you're just going to get the nun, right? You're going to get the, no, I'm seeing someone, or I'm not attracted to you in that way. Bullshit. Like what she said about not being physically attracted to you, that was bullshit. I saw the way she was looking at you. She's staying in your bed, right? She's mm-hmm. not going to do that. She would have preferred to stay on the couch if there was zero attraction there.
Right.
So, and the nun is a lying, dirty, filthy, smelly tramp. These nuns do not tell the truth, which is why I always say, listen to a girl's body. Don't listen to what she says in these situations. Unless you hear the words no and her body is mimicking her words. But typically what will happen is her body will be doing something opposite of what her words are saying. So, you know, she'll be turned on and making out with you, and then she'll say stuff like, oh, we can't, let's stop. Like, you know, this is bad, right? So that's why you just say all the things the nun would say before the nun can say them. And then the nun feels stupid about saying them. And if she then says them, you'd be like, stop using my lines, yo. Like, I just told you that. You can't use the same line on me. Like, what the fuck? Come up with your own shit, right? Just make fun of her to death. Usually they won't, because they'll just feel stupid about it. So I'm doing everything I can to interface with that, what do I call her? The party chick, right? The
nympho.
The nympho, right. So the way you interface with the nympho is you get, like, a nympho is a girl who wants sex. She's chasing sex, right? So to get the nympho to come out, she has to be chasing you. And also you have to be, like, turning her on when you do touch her. So first, like I said, I won't immediately go for it. One thing I'll do maybe is I'll, like, push her up against the wall when we come in the room. I'll make out with her, like, super passionately. Might even, like, you know, choke her a little. And then I'll just walk away and just, like, go sit at my computer and, like, show her something completely different. Like, so what I'm doing, I'm just completely pattern interrupting her. And she doesn't know how to defend against that, right? So after that, usually we'll be making out, and I'm feeling for, like, how turned on she's getting, what's going on with her body. Like, is she kind of, like, moving and grinding on me? Is she getting really close? Is her breathing getting heavy? Like, what's she doing with her hands? Like, there's all these things that I'm looking for, which are a little bit hard to describe. But essentially I'm escalating to the point where I can feel that it's comfortable for her. And then I'm slowing down before I know that, like, if I can feel that she's about to slow me down, I won't let it get that far, because that's when you start to get the resistance. Mm-hmm. And I know if I ever get resistance, it means I pushed it a little too fast, too soon. And when that's happening, all you can do is just completely stop. And that's when you just roll over and be like, all right, I'm tired, I'm going to bed. And they'll, like, cuddle up, like, around you. They might even spoon you. And then, like, they'll probably start rubbing on you because they're horny. And now you're interfacing with the nympho again because she's chasing sex. And then once I feel like it's appropriate to go for the pussy, that's when you can kill the nun completely. That's when you can get the nympho to come out to play. Because once you touch that magic button, which is the clit, and you start working the clit, like, her logical mind will shut down and she'll just get completely in her body and start to get wet and start to get horny. And then you have to deal with, you know, taking off clothes. And that can be a little bit of a challenge, because that's now a logical experience again. Ripping underwear is something I've been known to do. It turns them on, it's hot, and it's unexpected. And now they don't have underwear on. Another thing I'll do in that situation is I'll be like, yo, I told you before we're not fucking, but you should totally spend the night. Like, it's silly to go home. I'll give you some clothes that you can sleep in. And so I give her a pair of underwear, like boxer briefs, and a t-shirt. Yep. Now I have her in very easy to take off clothing.
If you see in Carly's snap, that last one, her last snap, is that girl, and that's exactly what she was wearing.
With your stuff.
With flesh shit.
Yeah.
With Carly's fucking dildo.
And that does two things. It allows her to get out of her tight clothing that is hard for you to take off. It's really easy to take off your own boxers and your t-shirt.
right? A lot of times, too, you just give them a t-shirt and they're just wearing, you know, their thong. No problem. Like, what's great about their underwear is you don't even have to take the underwear off. You can just maneuver around it, like, even when it comes to fucking. And then, you know, once you're fingering or whatever, it's really easy to take her panties off. But, you know, getting her clothes off, I'd say that's most easily done by either just going for it and seeing if she resists, right? And if she does, then you pull back, because you can't immediately say, like, oh, she's not taking off her jeans, let me give you some clothes to sleep in. It's too obvious, right? So instead, you have to, like, take out a little bit, freeze her out again, slow down. And I pretty much never go for boob grabbing at all. It's pointless, right? It might turn her on. You can kind of test it out, like, while you're making out with her. I'll do it by grabbing her boobs. I'll do it by kissing her. Like, I'll move down from kissing her neck down there and see what happens when, you know, when that starts to go. Yeah. So from there, once you're kind of feeling for, you're feeling her out, and you're kissing down her neck and around her neck and down, like, towards her boobs. And if she likes it, if she does get turned on by, like, nipple shit, then she'll make that known. Like, she'll start to, like, move her hips, and you know, she'll make it obvious that she wants you to do that. But there's really no reason to go for, like, boob grabbing and trying to get her shirt off first. Once, if you try to get off first, then she knows what's coming next is the pants, and that signals to her nun that, ooh, I better protect against the pants, which is the situation that you were describing last night. Okay. So I always go for pants off first. And if I'm getting the resistance, like I said, my go-to move will be the, wear my clothes, spend the night sort of thing. Cause it shows that you're, like, a gentleman and you're not just trying to get it in and you're sweet, all that. Right? But really you're just making for easier access. Maybe you are a gentleman. Maybe you just want to let her sleep. Fuck being a gentleman. It's your desire and it's your job to fuck. So fuck you, you pussies. Stop being a gentleman. And then from there, once, like I said, like, once you can get your hands on her pussy, which all that really requires is for pants to be off. She's wearing a skirt. You don't even need to do that. And you know how to rub a clit, which, you know, we teach in the sex guide and complete man workshop, all that stuff. You're going to turn her on, and it's probably going to lead to sex. Like, it's maybe 1 out of 10 girls or 1 out of 20 girls where I'm rubbing her clit and she doesn't fuck me that night. Super rare. Some girls have, like, standard built-in, you know, systems for not allowing that to happen, but it's very rare. And if you're doing that and you end up not fucking her, it's usually fine. You're going to fuck her the next time. Just don't be too thirsty. Don't try to, like, escalate past the point where, you know, it's going to make her uncomfortable. And usually what happens, if I'm rubbing her pussy, she'll start grabbing for my dick. Once she starts grabbing for my dick, it's usually just game on. I'll just roll over, grab a condom out of my pocket, flip it on, and go to town. If I get any resistance about the condom, this is, like, a ridiculous one, but believe it or not, it works. She's like, yo, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm going to make you come. You're going to rub my dick on your clit. I'm not putting inside, but I'm getting a condom just to be safe. And then, of course, you start. Yeah. She will always pull it inside every single time. Like, you won't even have to do it. You just tease her with it. Right? So the key points were, you know, don't round the bases. So essentially what I'm doing is I'm going from, you know, I'm kind of skipping a lot of, like, the kissing. I'm completely skipping second base, which is boob grabbing. Before I do third base, a lot of the time I'll just go straight for, like, the wear my clothes. And I'm not interfacing with her nun. I'm interfacing with her nympho. And that's how you kind of, like, get a girl out of her head into a body and into, like, a sexual mood. Any questions?
No, that was perfect.
Cool. That's good. I never actually described that.
Later, guys.